firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than...
How can you get into heaven? Is it your charming personality? Could it be maybe a list of great accomplishments? Maybe it's the references you have from others who can speak to your good character. Well, these suggestions may sound foolish, but you would be surprised at how many people believe these outlandish ideas and more. Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, welcoming you aboard the Bible bus for another great study in God's Word. Now, in just a few minutes, we'll depart for Ephesians chapter 1, a great book in the Bible, beginning at verse 5, where Dr. McGee will share with us the scriptural view of how we're going to get into heaven. But first, I often ask you to write in and tell us how our time in God's Word is changing your life. And, well, today I've invited Through the Bible's president, Greg Harris, to join us and tell us what he's learning on the Bible bus. So, hi, Greg.
Hey, Steve. Boy, I feel like I'm a little bit under the microscope today.
Yeah. First, I'm going to make sure that you listen to the broadcast.
I absolutely do. You know that. You and I often talk about what we hear. We podcast it, both of us. I mean, I do catch it on various Southern California radio stations, but the podcasting helps me make sure that, you know, if I miss a day, I don't miss it. I just catch up.
And
I have been, like a lot of people, I've been on and off the Bible bus since I think it was like 1983. And the reason I remember that is I grew up in a very religious home but never knew Christ as my Savior. My sister led me to faith in Christ when I was 11, stayed in that formal church, didn't really grow, and then got involved with a campus ministry that was very Scripture-based, memorized the Scripture, and started listening at that time to Through the Bible. And so I love thinking all the way back to when I was about 20 years old and hearing Dr. McGee say, now here's a letter from India. Sorry for the bad J. Vernon McGee impression. I still can remember that and think, I didn't know anything about the world. I hadn't traveled anywhere.
Yeah.
And if God had told me at that moment, son, you will someday be leading this international ministry and going to India, which you and I just did.
Yeah.
You know, Steve, it just almost gives me goosebumps to think about how good God has been to me to let me be part of a ministry that has blessed me. And I do listen.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And you have been, I mean, we've known each other now for over 25 years now when you were working for Transworld Radio.
We were
before.
Both very young when we met.
And who would have known that you'd be president of Through the Bible today? And as we look at your role here at Through the Bible, you originally started out focusing primarily on our international ministry as our international director and then moved into the president and are you CEO too?
I guess.
I should know that.
I just answer to the board of which you're a member.
I think. Yeah.
And we really do lead this as a team.
Right.
And I think one of the things we want to share with people is this is real. You and I were friends. We do things together.
Right.
We've traveled together. We enjoy being together. We're very different personalities, and that's what makes it fun.
Yeah.
Because we are so different.
I like to call it a brother from another mother.
Absolutely, brother. Yeah. There's a lot of love in the studio today.
Yeah.
But we want to convey to people that this ministry is about we love the Word of God. That brings us together. We love Jesus Christ. We love the idea of getting it to the whole world. And we love the way God has put this ministry together.
Yeah.
I've been around a lot of ministries in my 30 plus years. And I'm not criticizing other ministries. I just want to say there is something so wonderful and special that we appreciate at the board and the leadership level. And it is, I can tell you, I count myself just incredibly blessed. I don't think a week goes by that I don't literally say, Lord, why me? Why do I get the privilege of just not just leading this ministry, but even being associated with it.
Yeah. Now, as we turn back maybe a little bit to take a look at your role as just a listener, tell me a little bit about maybe a particular study that was meaningful to you, or are you maybe like Dr. McGee, where every book is his favorite book?
I think I am like that, and I will say this is one of my favorite verses or what have you, but we do record in advance. So Dr. McGee has just finished teaching Galatians, and one of the things that blessed me was he's so good at balancing biblical truth. And he just recently taught about reaping and sowing, and yet he also taught about being saved by grace and faith alone. Even after all these years, and I've been to seminary and I do Bible teaching myself, he always helps me understand these complex concepts. And I hope that's what's going on, not only in the hearts of our listeners around the U.S., but around the world as well.
Yeah. Well, thanks for that, Greg. And I would encourage you, if you're listening, that you would email us your story, that you'd let us know how this broadcast has impacted your life, how you have changed and grown spiritually in your walk with the Lord as a result of the ministry. It is such an encouragement to us here at Through the Bible, and then hopefully if we get to read it on the air, it will be an encouragement to all of our listeners as well. So you can also join our World Prayer Team. We've talked about that pretty much every day, it seems like, but go to ttb.org/pray, get that daily email, and I can tell you from my own personal experience, I am so blessed being able to take just a couple minutes out of my day to read how God is impacting different parts of the world through this ministry, and then to pray for the ministry. It helps me bring back that perspective into my life that's so needed. So let's pray as we begin our program. Heavenly Father, thank you for the power of your word. We pray that you would continue to bless it and bless this ministry. In Jesus' name, amen. Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we're treading on the mountaintops in the Epistle to the Ephesians. Today we come back to this first chapter, and we're not moving very fast. We're only to verse 5. We are in this first chapter where we see the church is the body of Christ. God the Father planned the church. God the Son paid for the church. God the Holy Spirit protects the church. Now we are way back yonder in eternity past when God planned the church. I wasn't back there to give him any suggestions or tell him how I wanted it done, but he's telling me how he did it. And I don't want to be unlovely, but I want to say this. He says to me, you either take it or leave it. This is the way I did it. Maybe you don't like it, but this is the way I did it, and I'm the one that's running this universe, you see. God hasn't turned that over to any political party yet. Thank God for that. And he hasn't turned it over to any individual. And we can thank the Lord for that. He certainly hasn't turned it over to me. And I tell you, all of us can shout a hearty amen to that and thank him that he didn't do it that way. Now, last time, we mentioned that there are three things that he has done for us here in this matter of planning the church. First of all, we've seen that he chose us. And that was a pretty hard pill, I think, to take for all of us to swallow. I'm sure that we found that a little difficult. The Father chose us in Christ, and the Father predestinated us to the place of a sonship. We're going to see that today. And then the Father made us accepted in the Beloved. Those are the three things that he did in planning the church. Now, I left off last time in this matter of election, where God chose us in Christ. And I think we ought to make this very clear also, that men are not lost because they're not elected. They're lost because they're sinners, and that's the way they want it, and they've chosen it that way. Now, the free will of man is never violated because of the election of God. A lost man makes his own choice, and Augustine made that very clear, that if there wasn't free will to accept the grace of God, how could God save the world? And if there be not free will in man, how can the world by God be judged? Therefore, we find that God is the one that did the choosing. Now, I want to make a very strong statement today, and I'm back in Romans. You remember we referred to Romans 9. Paul says that there's no unrighteousness with God, and he says, if you really think there is, then you better change your thinking, because is there unrighteousness with God? And the answer is, God forbid. And he said to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. Now, let me make this very clear, and this needs to be made today, because I get the impression in many of these evangelistic campaigns today that people are asked to come forward, and that even coming forward is doing something, you see. May I say to you that God says that He's not saving you because you came forward. He's not saving you because you're a nice little boy or a nice little girl. He's not saving you because of the fact that you've joined the church. He's not saving you because you have even an inclination to turn to Him. God says it's because He extends mercy. And He had to say it even to Moses. You see, Moses could go to the Lord and say, "Look, I'm Moses. You remember me? I'm leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. I'm something on the stick. I'm really up there at the top. You'd have a little problem getting along without me, I can assure you. Therefore, I want you to hear my prayer." No, Moses never prayed like that. You read his prayers. And God said to Moses, "I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and I'll compassion on whom I'll have compassion." What did he mean? He says, "So then it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy." Now, will you listen to me very carefully at this particular point? He says, "Moses, I'm going to hear your prayer, and I'm going to answer it. Not because you're Moses, because it's not to him that willeth, and it's not to him that runneth, but it's God that showeth mercy." My friend, I'm going to be in heaven someday, and I'm not going to be there because Vernon McGee's a nice little boy. He's not. You just don't know me like I know myself. If you did, you'd tune your radio out. But wait a minute, don't tune it out, because if I knew you like you know yourself, well, I wouldn't speak to you. So let's stay together, will you? Because we're both in the same boat, by the way. We're all lost sinners. And the reason that I'm going to be in heaven is not because I became a preacher. It's not because I joined the church. It was not because I was, and talk about baptized, I have been immersed and I have been sprinkled. My wife, she belonged to a Southern Baptist church, and she's always prided herself in being immersed. And I said, "It's sure going to be funny if we get to heaven and find out that the Lord was really taking sprinkling after all. And that might leave you out, but I'm going to make it because I got both." Well, that's ridiculous. Why? Because, my friend, it's not those things at all that are going to put you in heaven. The reason I'm going to be in heaven is because of the mercy of God. I'm a lost sinner. And until you and I are willing to come to God as a nobody and then let Him make us a somebody, you and I'll never get saved. Your best resolutions must totally be waived. Your highest ambitions be crossed. You need never think you'll ever be saved till first you've learned you're lost. You're lost, friend. That's your condition. And God is prepared to extend mercy to you. And you've got a free will. And don't tell me you've got intellectual problems, hurdles to get over. You don't have any. The problem with you and the problem with me was not that we had trouble with Jonah or we had trouble with Noah and the ark. Our problem today is that the Bible condemns the sin in our lives. And that's the problem. Because of the fact when the heart is willing to turn to God, God will save you. Now that is something that's, I know, rather strong, but maybe somebody today needs to say it like this. And He's done this in order that He might bring you and me into heaven someday. When we get there, we're going to find out He did it. Now we come to this next thing God did for us. And I have to go back in verse 4 and lift out that little expression, that phrase, "in love." That doesn't belong really with the election. It belongs here with predestination. "In love, having predestinated us." Now, somebody's going to say, "Well, I never knew you could get predestination and love even in the same county, let alone in the same verse." But here they are. "In love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will." Now, this word predestinate is a word that's been frightful to a great many people. And predestination is a word that comes from proorisis, a Greek word, and it means to define, to mark out, set apart. It means to horizon. You go out, especially if you're in flat country, and look around, you see you are in a certain area, and you can only see to the horizon. That's the word. You are horizoned. You are put in that area. Now, may I say that predestination is never used in reference to unsaved people. God never predestinated anybody to be lost. If you're lost, it's because you've rejected God's remedy. Here is the thing. Here's a man lying on a bed dying. The doctor has come in and prescribed to him and says, here's a medicine. If you take it, it'll heal you. The man looks at the doctor in amazement, says, I don't believe you. And he leaves that glass of medicine there by his desk. He could reach out and take it, and he won't take it. Now the man dies, and the doctor's report says he dies of a certain disease. That's accurate. But may I say to you, there was a remedy there, and he actually died because he didn't take the remedy, don't you think? May I say to you that today God has provided the remedy. Now, God has never predestinated anybody to be lost. That is something that you will have to determine yourself. That's where your free will comes in. Now, predestination has to do with the saved. And all it really means is that when God starts out with 100 sheep, he's going to come through with 100 sheep. That's all in the world it means. Again, if you go back to the epistle to the Romans, you find that wonderful verse that's quoted so often in verse 28 in the 8th chapter. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And as Dr. Tari used to say, that's a wonderful verse for a tired heart to pillow its head on. Is that verse there? And it is. To them that are called according to his purpose. Now, this that follows goes with it. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, you see, we talk now about saved people. He called, and whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. In other words, when God starts out with 100 sheep, he'll come through with 100 sheep. Now, that's a good percentage, because I was told by one of the sheep growers, raisers, out in San Angelo, Texas, years ago, that, very frankly, he said that they would appreciate getting 65%. He said, we can make money if we get 65% of the sheep we start out with, if we can get them to market. Well, may I say to you, what would it hurt if one little old sheep got lost? Well, I'll tell you what the Lord Jesus said about that. He said a man had 100 sheep. One little old sheep got out and got lost. Most of us do that even after we get saved. Now, we don't lose our salvation, but we sure get out of fellowship with him. We get way out yonder. And some people think they actually lose their salvation. But the little old sheep is still a sheep, and he's way out yonder, and he's lost. And all we like sheep have gone astray. That's our propensity. That's our tendency. That's the direction we go. We don't go toward God. We go from him. And we get out yonder, away from him. And what does the shepherd do? Well, he went out to look for that little sheep. I'm confident that that man who raises sheep in San Angelo, Texas, I don't believe he'd go out on a cold, blustery, stormy night to get one little old sheep. I think he'd say, let him go. Thank God we got a shepherd that never says that. He said, I started out with 100 sheep. I'm going to come through with 100 sheep. And it's just as simple as this. He starts out with 100 sheep. Now, the day comes when he's counting them in yonder in heaven, way out yonder, somewhere in the future. And he starts out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 96, 97, 98, 99, 99, 99, 99. What in the world happened to Vernon McGee? Well, we just lost one, so I think we let it go at that. A lot of folk didn't think Vernon McGee is going to make it anyway. And thank God he won't do it that way. If I'm not there, my friend, when he counts them in, he's going to go look for me, and he's going to bring me in. That's what predestination means. I don't know about you. I love the word. He's guaranteed. That's his guarantee. He says, I've lost none of those that were given to me. And I love it that way. And if sheep are saved, it's not because they're smart little sheep, because they're stupid little fellas. If they're safe, it's because they got a wonderful shepherd. That's the glorious, wonderful thing about it. Now, that's the second thing that he does for us. But he's predestinated us to the adoption of sons. Now, I'm not going into that because I have dealt with that in Galatians. Adoption means he's brought us into the place of a full-grown son. And that means two very important things. It means, first of all, we've been regenerated by the Holy Spirit, that the child of God has been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And this is the new relationship the Lord Jesus talked about to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Now, it means something else, adoption does. It means a position and a privilege. It means that we have been saved and not only born into the family of God as a babe in Christ, but we've been given the position of an adult son. And it means now that we are in the position that we can understand the Father. Now, it's wonderful. I've got a heavenly Father today, and I've been a babe a long time. But, you know, he told me that he's put me in now a position where I can understand him. Today we can understand. And how? Well, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And all of this has been through Jesus Christ, or in Christ Jesus. There's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And all of this, friends, is for the glory of God. For now, he ends all of this each time by singing this glorious doxology, this wonderful psalm of praise. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he made us accepted in the beloved. Now, all of this is done on the basis of grace. And I'm going to talk about grace when we get to the second chapter. But it's on the basis of grace, and the end is the glory of God. Inception is grace. Conception is adoption. Reception is for his glory. And the beloved refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what the Lord Jesus said? He said, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me from the foundation of the world. God sees the believer in Christ, and he accepts the believer just as he receives his own son. That's wonderful. That's the only basis I'll be able to be in heaven. I can't stand there on the merit of Vernon McGee. I can only accept it in the beloved. And again, the Lord Jesus said in John 17:23, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. God loves the believer just as he loves Christ, because the believer is in Christ. How wonderful. This is the threefold work performed here by the Father God. The Father chose us in Christ. The Father predestinated us to the place of sonship. The Father has made us accepted in the Beloved. And all of this is to the praise of the glory of his grace. He's the one that gets the credit. He's the one that did it all. And, you know, that's going to be for your good and my good. I don't know about you today. I'm going to revel in this. I'm going to rejoice in this. And my friend, I'm going to talk about this. because it's worth talking about, and it's lots more valuable than a lot of the chit-chat that I hear today that goes under the name of religion. Oh, my friend, how we need to see the grace of God as it's revealed in Christ. Until next time, when we're going to look at the Son paid for the church. May God bless you.
Wow, what a great study. We went pretty deep today. So if you'd like to go back and maybe spend a little more time in these passages, this message, or all of our messages in Ephesians, they're available to you anytime at ttb.org, and they're totally free of charge like all of our programs. And if you have any questions about how much God loves you and how you can know Him personally, why don't you visit us at ttb.org and click on a banner that says, How Can I Know God? There you'll find a bunch of different free downloads that we've set aside just for you. Or if you'd prefer, you can receive a couple of these resources by mail. Just call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Our study in the magnificent book of Ephesians continues tomorrow. I'm Steve Schwetz, and as always, I'll be here saving a seat on the Bible bus just for you. We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole word to the whole world.